We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
And we are off into hour number two. Dr. Dean Lloyd is with me. Go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. As always, look for May 29th, and you will find a link to evolvingthespecies.com. That's the website where you can find out more about Dr. Dean Lloyd. You can find out more about Am Rosen, author of the book Cruising the Epiphany Highway, which is where we're just kind of taking little bits and pieces of and running with it and talking about all these important individual strengths and weaknesses and weird ideas that have been put into our heads about what things mean and what they are and how they should be important to us as people in relation to this thing or that thing in society or politics and we're just trying to, I think this is the way I look at it, is we're just trying to set all of that sort of nonsense aside and focus on self and improving and understanding. Maybe not even improving, but understanding, just listening to self and hearing your mind and your body speak to you and listening to them and believing them when they do speak, very important things. And I think I said this, we lost you there, Dr. Lloyd, for a minute. What I got out of the definition of war there, you read us that definition. What I got out of it, it was really sort of statist definition of war. It really ignores the individual in that. It's talking about it has to be a bunch of people and has to be weapons in a large scale. And it's just not really the truth about war.
There's much to build off of that definition, but we have to remember that what we're talking about is insanity. Okay. This is, and I'll give you a diagnosis that insanity is the cure to that delusion. In other words, when we diagnose what the problem is, we've got the cure at hand, right? Yeah. So let me read a little section and to lead into what I would like to talk about is what is survival. You know, we're talking about survival food, we're talking about survival with our weapons, survival and all these levels. I'd like to explore that a little bit, because when we're talking about war, our life is threatened. We're literally threatened. Our life is threatened. But I gotta first understand what's the cause of this. You heard the saying that we're fighting, but what are we fighting for? What's the reason we're fighting? We're just angry. We're unhappy. We're unsatisfied. We're being attacked. You know, what is the reason for these things? And I will put out there that I never let those who understand less than I do dictate how I should be.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So if you have anybody,
sounds like a good idea.
let me give you that little excerpt, okay? It's also on page 377. So now you have all witnessed his last recorded thoughts. The dear man has flipped himself into some self-styled illusionary nirvana. He has linked our planet to a big fault line on the verge of erupting. He has made himself believe that only his spiritualized valor can save the situation. In the vanity of his delusion, he has turned against his own intellectual genius, the only true path of redemption. Like too many of our great minds, his science has become poisoned by that insidious viper of mysticism. Now his body just sits here, an empty shell, while his consciousness floats in a world of pervasively self-aggrandizing projections of his own poor, tortured self. He has hurled himself into a state of mind so cut off from reality that its gibberish cannot be recorded, even by the creative instruments of his own formidable genius. But we have what we will not desert him. We will not leave him cast adrift on the profitless wasteland of his own deceptions, will we? Now, the reason I wanted to bring that in is that we have some amazing genius out there that's made such a mess of things that it would seem obvious to most people that they obviously don't have inner peace themselves. They want reinforcement. They want to be validated. And the only way to do that is to bring others into, or more people, more money, more resources, whatever, into their side and to advance their inner discord. Now, that seems absolutely absurd or ridiculous that this could be allowed. But what has happened is the insecurity has allowed that to happen. Our inner security is based on our understanding. Because if you understand yourself, why would you defend yourself? Right? And that's part of the game here, is that what's being played is that people are being fed into this trap, into their primitive emotional patterns that they don't even know exist.
Yeah.
These are subconscious.
No, that's absolutely right. That's the big claim by many of the people, I guess, in the liberty movement, whatever, is that that it's a psychological manipulation, that these things are being done and that they know they're being done. And that's why it makes it so wrong that they're being done. It's not the ignorance that a lot of people claim or stupidity in government, but that there's a direct correlation between what they do and how we as individuals will react to it.
Well, that's what they spend their time in, but it's never going to satisfy them.
No,
they'll never reach the point of being inner peace or feeling inner security.
No, because they're seeking an external security and external peace. Yeah.
So what's your excuse for tolerating insecurity? Now I'm on page 117.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Most people have lots of excuses. Pick one. He's my husband.
Friend.
They're my father. They're my mother.
Yeah,
that's my friend. That's my politician.
So this is again what we're having to grow up from as a society. Okay, we gotta get the upgrade that people are begging for this information. And I just want to share it all with them. It's got to come in stages and end in pieces, because what I'm saying would be innerly known. Mm. In other words, you'd already have the awareness saying, oh, you know, I've never had anybody articulate it that way, but that's what I've been feeling. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have that all the time. So I want those questions to come in, because I'm ready for it, just more than ready for it. But you let me know with your talk room and what comes up, any of the questions that I'm covering on the topic I'm covering, okay?
Yeah, I haven't mentioned that in a while. That is one of the things that you guys can do. If you just click on the contact page at towardanarchy.com, And just wait for just a split second, there's a little messenger thing that pops up, and you can actually converse with me live during the show, and it's anonymous. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's just, I have no idea what they might be stealing in the background of information that your computer is giving away, but you don't have to create an account or anything like that. And if you have a specific question about something that we're talking about, it's probably the quickest and easiest way if you're with us live. And if you're hearing the podcast like a lot of people do, as opposed to the live broadcast, You can always email. I put that contact information out there. I get emails all the time. If there's something specific and not just a sort of general thought, which most are, then I will bring it to Dr. Lloyd and we will address it specifically. But usually we just get just sort of general comments, and it's usually quite positive. I've shared a few things, and you've shared some things that you've seen as well. And that tends to be what it is. People just have good things to say about the conversation. I really felt the conversation today. It really spoke to me, that sort of thing, as opposed to really trying to question it, which to me speaks loads about the topic, because we're not stopping to clarify certain language or terms along the way, especially some of the colorful language that can be used in the descriptions that can be used in the book Cruising the Epiphany Highway, and so people are just getting it. And it's what you just said, is that you will feel this internally.
And I'm wanting to turn on that switch for people, if I may say so. And to sort of illustrate the point is that I love questions. I just have one criteria, that they make sense.
That they make sense, that they be related to what we're talking about. You might be asking too much.
Okay, so let me move on with that. So I was saying on page 117, what's your excuse for tolerating insecurity? It ain't my fault. You may be miserable, but at least you have a lot of miserable company. It's a sort of mutual conspiracy. You don't blow my covers, and I won't blow yours. Anyway, when you compare yourself to others, it doesn't seem that you're doing so badly, except that pattern isn't healthy.
Oh.
In health, you only compare yourself to your own potential. In health, you only adjust to the ongoing, evolving dynamic of your own level of comfort. While you may be miles ahead of the next person, it doesn't mean that your operations are in keeping with your own potential. Health, we are talking about health, is seductive. If I can introduce you to a better state of mind and body, then you will never want to settle for less. When you've been touched even once by a better state of being, you will be restlessly haunted by the tease of more rewarding access until the quality of energy and consciousness you'd experience becomes a standard part of your psychological vocabulary. You may try to suppress the experience and deny this relevance, but it will continue to torment you with disconnect and discontent. I have to apologize because my nose is stuffy. I'm having to wipe my nose. I've had to get over some congestion here.
Well, take a second and mute and blow your nose if you need to.
I'm having to read, reread the words because I'm watering up. We've had a lot of particulates flying around.
My wife and I were outside the other day in the cottonwoods. I mean, it just looked like snow.
Yeah. Well, it's that too. And, I've been around some sick people. And, it's just my immune system's trying to kick it out. So anyway, I'm doing this with a little bit of a handicap. But because I'm normally, quite fluent with everything, but I'm having to battle the congestion. So anyway, I'll continue. Yet haven't you got this reputation to maintain? Family, friends, lovers, business associates, cultural happenings, and warring factions all have their expectations of you, don't they? Isn't that what you're constantly reminding yourself? If you don't hold your past against yourself, then I guarantee that no one in this or any other dimension will hold it against you. Every morning you wake up and you don't stop until you've recalled to mind the image of what you think you are. Since you believe in this image, you must cultivate, justify, defend, rearrange, and compensate for whatever deficiencies seem to come with it. You waste an incredible amount of energy trying to convince yourself that despite it all, you're okay. Maybe you feel the time has come and you really want to change. Maybe you feel change is inevitable, yet you feel shackled by commitments you've made to who you think you are and how you think everyone else ought to respond. Upon what will you base your movement? That's a question that I'd like to expound on.
All right.
What would you say if I, even though you invested, this is now, I mean, I'm not reading.
Right.
But if you had invested so much into your car, you put on new tires, new transmission, you did detail work, and then you got the word from the mechanic that it's going to cost you another $2,500 to replace the engine. And you jump up and down and you go, oh my, I just spent all this money. I invested all this money and the car's only worth $2,000. You know, you end up with this having to gauge your energy with people are so invested in their fears, Michael. And that's where it becomes a stopping point. And I'm going to emphasize this over and over, that change is immediate. The moment that you stop feeding what isn't working for you, you reevaluate, you stop yourself, and that was part of the show before. We had the three inner gauges with psychological security. The one before that was the ego matrix. But what I'm talking about is these three inner gauges, whenever it stops feeling good, stop putting energy into it. And that is an intelligence factor. Look, there are people that will want to question me because I say things that they've never heard before, and I want that to happen. But it has to come from the foundation of them wanting to know. That's something I can't give you. I can't give you desire to understand. I do know how it works, but that, and I can be challenged on it. And then anyway, I won't be able to, I won't find a place on this cycle that, you know, where you'll be lost. And I'll find where you are lost, and I'll be able to locate where you're losing, where you haven't got sight, or where it is that isn't clear to you. Because it all comes down to how conscious you are of your own process. Because you can reprogram yourself on the fly. You can say, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, it isn't about the bigger cudgel approach after all. It's about how much energy I'm putting into something that isn't working. I have to admit to myself and be excruciatingly honest about it. And that challenges people. That puts people in defensive mode because they're so invested, like the car, into their fears that they bought into their own trip.
And they do it every time.
They do. And so when you're aware of it, you can say, oh, I got to catch myself from doing that. That means the whole energy and those around you will sense it. And those that don't serve what it is that you're trying to achieve will go by the wayside eventually. And those that are helping or wanting to be part of, you know, I say this all the time. I say, hey, if you're enjoying yourself, people want to be part of what your party is. You know, they want to join in your party.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. So when that's part of the whole discernment process, is that we are able to make sense. And you're not going to be helping those others that don't want it, even though you keep dishing it out.
Very true. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to chew on that during the break. We'll go into a break. We'll come back and we'll pick right up there with Dr. Dean Lloyd.
Thank you. that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network with your host Michael Storm.
People are really good at pattern recognition and getting and really good at being comfortable with doing the same thing over and over again and really bad at realizing how bad that is for us, whether it's I hate to use sort of some physical descriptions in this, but what we are talking about is physical healing through connecting the body and the mind and the spirit. So there's a plenty of truth to this. Occupational damage to our body, something that we put up with, something that we don't realize that is happening to us day after day after day after day because we're just in that routine. We're in that pattern. It's comfortable for us, and we don't realize until oftentimes it's too late that we've done something for so long that it's hurt us, it's damaged us physically. Well, this is also true of our mental processes and all of these different things that we have to tie together to achieve fooling ourselves into following our mental process every day, into just getting up and going about the general business of our day can have that same psychological damage growing in the background. But you said it, you put it perfectly, and that change is instant. Once you realize that this is happening and that you want to make a change, that you need to make a change because it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel right, it's damaging your brain, it's damaging your body, the change is immediate. Ask anybody who's quit smoking after multiple attempts, or ask people who have, you know, decided that it's finally time to lose weight or to change some physical lifestyle thing that they do, and how much better they feel they are instantly as soon as they make up their mind to do it.
Yeah, and we got to get past this idea that we have to be at war.
Right.
You know, what does it mean to be at war? Yes, we have to defend ourselves, and if that is what it comes to, that's what it comes to. But we have to be at war? You know, it's always a struggle, and I'm saying it over and over that it's the bigger cudgel approach. Well, my way is better than yours. Oh, yeah, well, my way is better than yours.
Right. This comes down to us needing to pick our battles. Maybe that's the way we need
that was my last point, actually, yeah. And we'll bring that up. But what you had mentioned just now is that with people, when the cage is gone, just like when they realize, oh, I didn't see it that way before, and they've got all of this experience that tells them otherwise, and they see something better that provides them better access to the knowledge that they've gained, and some of it may be incorrect. But when the cage is gone, like a mouse, right, and you have the option of going outside the parameters of what that cage is, you still act like you're in one. That's the patterning. That's the reprogramming. And do it gradually, because this does not – I wanted to make mention of this too before, is that when you start to make those realizations, you're wired to the old way.
Yeah.
Right? You know, your nervous system has to integrate being different. Has to be, because your reality will be changed. That means you have to go through the process, because there's always those three stages in the learning process, right? There's always the discovery stage. Oh, wow, look at how great that is. You can do that. And then there's the mechanical stage that you make it part of yourself, saying, okay, this is how I can, you know, punch these, you know, words on the computer, and boom, this thing comes up. I can go to that website and learn all this. This is great. And then there's the put your own signature on it, which is to say, okay, what do I do with this information? How is it applicable to what I'm trying to achieve? What is useful about it, right? So usually a very, I would say, effective technique is to overload people with information, so they can't decipher what's accurate and what isn't. And it's a common problem, because people are always looking for, you know, the answer that gives them satisfaction. They don't know it internally that they're wired to be dissatisfied and always looking for things.
Yeah, it's never enough.
Outside of themselves that give them the inner comfort. You know, I've lived a long time. I've lived a long time without, you know. There have been times in my life where I had very, very little, but I may have been broke, but I was never without being wealthy inside. You know, I was always rich inside.
It's, you know, it's that, something that, that people take for granted.
Through. Yeah. I've never been internally poor, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people can't understand that, because that feeling that they have inside them is off. Again, here it is. It's tied to those externalities. It's based on something that's coming from outside them instead of something that they've built up from inside. We've got to go to a quick break here, and we will be right back with Dr. Dean Lloyd and more on Warring for Peace.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Help us out. Make this thing work. We're planting the seeds here, and we will continue to plant the seeds. But to hold the analogy together, we need you to water the garden. Like, share, follow, subscribe. Wherever you're seeing the network, wherever you're seeing Toward Anarchy, be sure to take that extra second to share this valuable information and support the network, support republicbroadcasting.org, visit the website, push the donate button, push the store button, get in there, participate in that win-win. That's how I can keep having these conversations with I can keep having conversations with Dr. Dean Lloyd all the time. I have his phone number. I can call him and talk to him anytime I want to. But, you know, if you want to participate in the conversation, want to be a part of it as such that you are, and continue to help get these voices, all the voices across the network out there, it's you. You're the reason we're here. We're here for you. You're here for us. We do this thing together. Towardanarchy.com to follow along. The links are there, as always, for Dr. Dean Lloyd, We're talking about the book Cruising the Epiphany Highway. And if you want to know more about that, you want to know more exactly what the book is about, where Dr. Lloyd is coming from, because we don't spend a lot of time dwelling on that. We have talked about it a little bit here and there. We need to talk about this thing about you being a bassist. I know that I've had a master bassist on the show. Jonathan Lane was on the show not too long ago, and I think maybe that you and I had maybe it had come up in conversation at least once. But now, because I've had Jonathan on the show, I'm like, well, was I thinking of him, and did I not know that Dr. Dean Lloyd plays music too? Everybody wants to play, but we need to get together and make some beautiful music together.
That's such a fine thing to say. Thank you. Something near and dear to my heart. Now, you may know in the audience that I am the author of the book Accutone.
Yes,
system of healing based on the ancient science of sound, and I published that back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it expands into multiple dimensions in terms of healing. I cross over into the frequencies that are being used in tissues, for example, levels of tissue. That's been my most recent endeavor. Now I've made a homeopathic that is using the frequencies of all levels of tissue, and most notably the one for blood, because we have, in Chinese medicine, there are five levels of tissue. There's bone, skin, blood, tendon, and muscle. And I've been able to isolate, find those frequencies, and now we're enhancing using the delivery system of nutrients using this homeopathic method. So there'll be more to come on that, but that's really cool.
That was one of the neat things that just one of those weird connections in the universe that managed to find themselves together. My wife worked for an association for years for massage therapists, and they were very much familiar with your book and the process and your work in that particular area. And so it was kind of neat after, you know, meeting you and talking with you about these things to find that my wife had already bumped up against you in so many ways.
No, it's fine. Thank you. I appreciate that. And last night had ourselves a fun time, wonderful time. And I was playing bass with a group of singers called the Cheap Therapy Singers, and we had a great time, and I pulled out my basses, and it just had so much fun. So, but it's a wonderful thing. As a musician, you know, your art form is your yoga. I mean, it's a yoga for me. I need to play to keep myself balanced. We all have to have, and that's a very important point, we all have to have a wholesome discipline. Okay, we can flounder. We can say, "Well, I go to work and I come home, and what's the point?" You know, that ain't gonna cut it. You got to do better than that. We got to make a difference by finding that place. And I don't, you know, there's Frosty Wooldridge. He's in Colorado too, and I haven't met him yet, but we've conversed over email, and He's a biker. He bikes across the country. He's biked over most of the world. It's incredible. And he's got this incredible lust for life and desire for more. That's his yoga, okay? But we find it in ourselves and in other ways. And that's what I want to talk about here as a solution in bringing this war mentality. How the question becomes, how is the cycle of our inner destruction broken? In other words, what is it that is required? Well, first we have to understand it. I pointed that out earlier in the show. And then there's a section in the book, this page 88, that I'd like to read to you, because it puts it in a perspective, because I talked about the ego matrix, right? I talked about the three inner gauges. That was last month. Now I got to talk about here is something called the fourth level of awareness. And I will, of course, be talking more in detail on what the first level is, the second level, third level. But when you reach the heart, which is this fourth level of awareness, we're not talking about the intellect which and thought forms. Because what are thoughts? You know, they're ideas, right? They're opinions. Often it takes mental effort to come up with these things. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a house. A thought of a house isn't a house. You can stand out in the middle of the street, and it'd be raining on you. You know, and you could have the image of a four-bedroom house with two baths and a fireplace. and
I just love this description.
But you're not. But you're still going to get wet when it's raining. You know?
I just love it.
So when you have the feelings and the thoughts in unison or together, they're not in conflict. You may think one thing, but feel another. Then you're always locked in. Okay. And I'm talking about once you break out of that pattern where your feelings and your thoughts are united, you're no longer locked into that, you reach the fourth level, which is your heart. And I'll read to you a little excerpt here, and this is page 88. Tantra between the heart and the ego. Once you've attained fourth level awareness, centering in your heart, you will want to rewire the interactive operations of your ego matrix, first three levels of perception. You expand your perspective to function from the more inclusive level of perception. Then you bring this new range of motion and energy access back through the ego matrix to make whatever appropriate changes are necessary to allow this enhanced level of awareness to become functionally operative for you. You reprogram. You kick out the jams. Discard the outmodeled and obsolete, and rewire the focus and emphasis on the activities of your consciousness in relation to the resources available. The more effectively you do this, the more it frees you to expand into even more diversely inclusive territories of space. Eventually, you bring the psycho-emotional range of your functional neurobolic up to a par with your increased capabilities. In turn, this frees you to transcend the stimulus response coordinates of your ego and further expand your awarenesses. You expand awareness, functionally integrate it into your ego, and socially disseminate it through your personality. So there's more to say on this, but I want to make sure that it's understood that...
Yeah, no, there's a lot of language in there and in this forum that it might trip people up. It might seem more confusing than it really truly is, and that's what I always.
That's right.
Yeah,
and this is something you have to go into and meditate on.
Yeah,
the rewording it, interpreting it, so to speak, is that what we're talking about with the ego matrix and the self-image is who you think you are. And I gave you the image of the house, right? About thinking of a house isn't one. It's an idea, right? It's mental effort it takes. But when I read into the dictionary term, it's the act of thinking. I mean, you don't use a word to describe the word. You know, that's why most people can't give you a definition of what a thought is. Okay? Now, intellect, I have to make a distinction here. Remember how we talk about intellectuals?
Mm-hmm.
They're an intellectual. Well, that's what we understand in the form of symbols. In other words, if they develop, I see this quite often, where they develop their intellect very well. They've got a lot of words in their vocabulary, but that is not intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Intellect is that which we form and understand in the form of symbols. The intelligence is applying your awareness, okay? And that's where it becomes conflicting to people because they think that the more, intellectual you are, the smarter you are. Not true. And when you are
in fact, a lot of times it's exactly the opposite. People end up using this sort of textbook learned ideas to try to address things that are so much more complicated than you. It's kind of funny.
This is the point: is that you have to make a distinction between what is intelligent thought and what is just gobbledygook. You know, I can spar with the best of the intellects on this planet. That does not mean that there isn't something for me to understand with whatever they're saying. Mm. But if you're talking about being emotionally integrated and talking about being able to move in and out of spaces at will, knowing how that energy is being used, I welcome anybody to challenge me.
Yeah, and right.
I'm not speaking in terms of wanting to one-up people. I want to bring them in. I want to get them so that they can use their intellect and their knowledge emotionally integrated without being at war with themselves, fighting, trying to look for the answer in something that they can't make sense of, right?
Well, and it's kind of a neat little circular thing that happens there too, because at the same time that you're doing that, that you're reaching out to people to help them with that, you're also sort of begging for, just tell me something new. Tell me something I don't already know. Show me something. It's probably not going to happen, but what I want you to understand is that I'm open to the idea that maybe you know something I don't. I'm listening.
Look, life, there's always something to learn in life. Okay, and you can always put yourself in the student position, right? It's something I just don't understand. But that's what I talked about in the last show, is that stop yourself from going in that direction. If you see yourself being sucked in, stop yourself from allowing that to take place, allowing you to go into that place where you are confused. And remember that, I said in the earlier part, is that fear is the foundation of not understanding. Right? And when people don't understand and they insist they understand, they become controlled by their ignorance. And that's where we're at as a culture, not understanding why all these things are happening. We can define them really good.
And it ties right
causing.
Right. And it ties right back to exactly what started the conversation. And that's that we have all this technology and all these tools and things, but we're still using this primitive space, this primitive mind that we're working within them. And so this becomes another layer of things that we can point to and say, well, that's not my fault, or it's because of this that I'm doing this. No, again, if it's your response, you're the only person responsible for it. It doesn't matter what the outside stimuli is. It doesn't matter what the tools are that you have, the technological tools at your fingertips to express your opinion, your dissatisfaction, your happiness, your whatever it is, to express it across these tools. If it fails to come across and it's something that you are directly in control of, it's hard to sit there and say, well, I did it because of this or I did it because of that, when you are actually always constantly looking at yourself and saying, well, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? What is it that it's allowing a person to decide, this other person over here, or this group over here, these politicians, these guys, to decide for me what's best for me?
And see how you're empowering yourself by asking that question?
Yeah.
And that means that it takes a little courage and heart to do that, to approach that. There's probably those that you're, you know, very close to in your life that you wish you could just have enough time with them that would break them out of the cycle that they're repeating, that you know is hurting themselves, you know, that they're doing damaging things.
Oh, we're real good at spotting that kind of stuff in other people.
Yeah, you can keep putting it out there, you know. But that's part of the delicacy of this. The art form is healing we're talking about here, is that being there for people when you have it for yourself and making it available to others, there's subtleties that are included in that process, right? And knowing when to say what or what to say, you know, and it's part of that. What we're offering here is the inner security part so that you do not get fooled. Because the worst thing that anybody can do to you is give you the tools to fool yourself.
Fool yourself, yes, because you never unfool yourself at that point, especially if you're not in constant evaluation of your tools and how you're using them.
And I want to specifically define how those tools are used, and that would have to come from the audience, because what they need to ask me is how something works for me to respond to them.
Right. I know. Okay. Yes, this is one of the big problems that we run into, and we can have these conversations week after week after week. Is that the format itself is self-limiting in that sense, because it's constantly moving forward. It's not, we can't pause and sort of go back and reevaluate, and we have to keep moving forward because our time is ticking off, our minutes are ticking off, and the next program comes on. So the format in and of itself is self-limiting in that sense, and so we're not able to address and readdress, I guess, is really the way to look at it. We say these things and we have to leave them there because we end up going back and just sort of rehashing the same ideas, and you never move any further forward in the conversation. So it's absolutely understandable. I think people probably understand that too, listening to these, because this is not a I've had some of those people on the show that's what they do. In their sort of weekly platform, their conversation is a highly produced, directed soliloquy, whatever it is. Maybe it's more than one person, so it's not that. But it's a longer, more in-depth conversation, as opposed to what we're trying to do here is just that friendly introduction to thing, and just to try to trigger that idea in somebody to go say, oh, wait a minute, what did they just say about that? I'm the one that's responsible for that too? If that's on me too, I got to fix that.
Well, again, it becomes selectivity. How many times were you given the opportunity to answer something when you knew that it would take a lot longer than the time that you had available to you?
And how many times have you requested, all right, well, how can I say it in a shorter amount of time and try to get that point out there? And it's really hard to do with the gravity of the topics that we're talking, that we're all talking about. These things are important. They're important to someone, somewhere, everyone at some time.
It's taken me a long time, Michael, to come to these realizations. I've hit my head into the wall, bang my head saying, well, how does this work? How does this work? But I'm giving them to you. I now know how it works and what's involved. So that's why I want to encourage the audience to come up with questions so that we can answer them directly.
And pick up a copy of the book, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really, truly. Yeah, there's so much in there. And it's really hard to convey what a piece of art it is. That's how I've referred to it over and over.
Thank you for mentioning that. When you make correlations with other things that you've learned, because saying things in different way, there's always going to be, perspectives that will be coming in and saying, oh, they came to the same conclusion, but they did it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to be. You can have the experience. That's what you stand under to know how something works. And when you put these things to the test, I feel tested everything I'm saying. If I don't make sense to you, I want you to challenge me. I'm probably one of the few people that like to be challenged, because it puts me in a position of saying, do I really know what I know?
And that's exactly what I was talking about earlier. I think that's the number one sign of somebody who is making an honest effort to tell the truth, is that they ask to be challenged on it. Just please find a hole in the...
But the only criteria is the same thing I said before. Is that
it's got to make sense.
Question, or if it's a position that you're taking, it has to be made. You have to make sense.
Yes. Okay? It has to relate. It can't... And as you said before, that this is the point that we're at right now, and that's why it's a perfect time to have these conversations, because there are people like us that see this every time. I think everyone does see it. They see it at different times, and they see it in different places. And if you can take it and place that vision in everything that they're looking at, boy, wouldn't the world be a greater place. But if we could just get them to you know, reevaluate just a little bit, start here, reevaluate. Why is it that this works this way? Why is it that it doesn't work this way? What is my response to this? What is the external input that is driving my response to that? I hate to even go back over it, but it's like you say, that when you repeat some things, you say some things, you try to say them in a different way, you try to point at it from a different angle, people will understand it. They'll just get it. And so I don't have a problem with us just talking about these things, as opposed to, sort of trying to come together, because we don't do this. We don't do this at all. We don't try to outline, you know, sort of A to Z how our conversation is going to go.
Well, you don't need to. What you do is you know what you know and put it out there, and then see where the questions come from. I had a recent I met with somebody who had a very interesting perspective on our situation with the gas going up. You know, that we're having ridiculous prices, and how it's going to shut the economy. And well, this isn't new. This is nothing new. This has been, I remember back in the 70s when my father was designing cars, and he had to switch gears because of the made up fuel crisis. He didn't know it at the time, but he had to make small cars all of a sudden. Right. And when he was making the design of these cars, and Dodge Omni was one of them, and the Horizon, and these, you know, fuel efficient cars, it had to change his way of thinking, because the obstacle became too great for them to compete in the world with these big cars. Right. Well, the gas is a symptom of the real issue. But they kept saying and insisting that this is going to be the main reason why it's going to shut down the economy. The economy has multi tendrils that are going to cause it to shut down, this being one of them, and it's an important one. But most people are looking for an outer answer to solve an inner problem, and I am here to answer those questions for people.
Well, thank you so much for doing that and putting yourself out there, Dr. Dean Lloyd. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again in about a month. Guys, next week on the show, Matt Hawkins, COO and president of Top Cow Publications. It's totally a geek show next week, and we'll see you then. Till then, take care.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.